Our Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, starting at chapter 43. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba is in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I'll bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, Give up, and to the south, Do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson comes from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we say who died into sin with still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized in his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, it's great to be back. I know I only missed one Sunday being here, but it's wonderful to be here and to get to share in God's word with you all. And especially today, as we get a wonderful reading from Luke chapter 3, hearing about the baptism of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, as we just sang about. It's a wonderful reading that we get to have each year. And in fact, we get to look at it four different ways, as we get to have this in both Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's pretty great that this is something included in all four Gospels, and it makes sense since it is also the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. In this baptism, Jesus is proclaimed as the Savior, the one that had been promised, the one that everyone had been looking forward to, the one who would take away our sins and make us right before God. Now, in the way that Luke puts this, it's really interesting seeing the four different gospel writers and how they craft these different tellings of these accounts that happened. As we have Jesus there for baptism, it's like we're getting ready for it all. He's come and we get John the Baptist explaining everything. He says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, as he's talking about the real deal, as Nathan mentioned, the real deal, the true Savior, not anyone who might look like it. The real deal is coming. He's almost here. And he's going to do something even bigger and better than what you see now. And all of this is said, and then it comes time for the baptism. But we don't actually get that. We get what happened after the baptism, at least in Luke's telling of this. The baptisms have happened. All those who have been baptized are standing together. Jesus is with them. And down comes this dove that is the Holy Spirit. And you hear God's, the Father's voice saying, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. It's kind of amazing that this is the baptism of Jesus and the actual baptizing part isn't even listed, isn't even described at least. But we get the really amazing statement here with a really wonderful visual. As we have on the screen behind us again, I love it. Christina finds the best pictures for our bulletins and for all these slides. I'm very thankful. There we have Jesus. You've got the dove, and you've got the heavens opened up, and you can hear the Father's voice. What an amazing thing to experience. For everyone to be there. These baptisms have happened. They're doing right by following God's word and God's law, being told, turn to him. For everyone else who'd come in baptism, they'd come to receive forgiveness and absolution, to be directed and pointed towards this promise that God would send the Savior and that he was almost there. For everyone else who stepped into the waters of baptism, their sin was washed away from them. And yet, for Jesus who was there, it was almost like he was drawing in sin to himself. Jesus standing amongst those baptized individuals, hearing, you are my son, whom my beloved son, with you I am well pleased. Now, if you're standing close to Jesus in the lineup of people who have just been baptized, that'd be pretty amazing. Like, me? No. Yeah. Oh, him. Oh, well, that's good. I'm right next to him. That's so cool. That'd be amazing. That would be amazing. To be there amongst those baptized the same day, the same time as Jesus. And to hear the Father speak to him. To hear God's voice audibly speaking, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. That's pretty amazing. Now what's interesting is for you and for me, we were not standing there 2,000-ish years ago. And yet, it's like you are. You who have been baptized, you who stand there as baptized children of God, whose sins have been washed away. You're standing in the lineup with Jesus. Jesus who lived the life perfectly that we could not. Jesus who stood in the very baptismal waters that he didn't really need to be there for himself. Jesus who lived the perfect life to offer up as a sacrifice on the cross for you and for me. You stand there with him. course, right now you're sitting there with him. It's okay. Thank you. At least one joke a year gets laughed at. Christ is with you in all circumstances. He was baptized as you were baptized, with water and with the promise. Now, of course, he has changed baptism and made it even more important. As John said, you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You were baptized into God's name. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit on that baptism day are there at every baptism that follows. The triune God is with you. You've been baptized and made one of his very own. So that you really ought to hear, you are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased. Because Christ did that for us. None of us could follow the law perfectly. Every one of us, just like John's disciples and those who were coming to the waters to be baptized, every one of us need salvation that comes from the Lord. Every one of us needed that baptism that would wash our sins away and that faith that the Holy Spirit gives. We need salvation. Jesus Christ came not because he needed it, but because he desired to give it to you. And so as his ministry begins with this baptism and leading forward, he continues to open up God's words the same way that heaven was opened up at his baptism. He begins to open up hearts and minds and tell the good news that salvation has come. God's kingdom has come. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Now, another account that is shared in all four Gospels, the end of his earthly ministry, in his death and his resurrection, is also included in all those Gospels. The beginning and the end of this earthly ministry are there. You may recall from a different of those Gospels, at least from Matthew, one of the great commissions that is given to the disciples there, the big thing he's told them to go do now, is to go and baptize all nations, teaching them to obey everything he has commanded us. And surely he would be with us to the very end of the age. Baptism, instituted by Jesus, is an amazing thing. In your baptism, you're made one of God's children. And from there, we continue to learn God's will and God's words. Part of that second part of that Great Commission, right? Go and baptize and teach them. And that's why I love that we have Romans chapter 6 paired up for us here. In the book of Romans, Paul is working through and explaining a lot of big, deep theological things. And it gets pretty hairy sometimes. But especially this is so clear and so well put. Especially in having just recently discussed whether or not we saved ones who are saved from all sin should just be able to sin to show how gracious God is. He asks a question, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Died to sin. Now hold on, Paul, that sounds different. He'll go on. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You who have been baptized have also been killed, at least in regards to sin. You have died to sin, and you rise with this new life. It's a funny thing, though, to walk with this new life where we are both God's children, who he says, with you I am well pleased, also knowing that daily we're still sinners. We are trusting in that faithful promise of Jesus, that God will always look at us and say, "You are my beloved child," every day, even in our own sinfulness. Because for those who live in faith, those who walk in Jesus' name, God looks at you and sees that Christ has already paid for all your sins. He does not look at you with unquenchable fire that he needs to throw your sin out. Jesus has paid for your sins. He sees you and says, "With you, I am well pleased." All because of Jesus Christ. And because of that truth, we get to walk in this newness of life. What a wonderful way of saying something that people sometimes get confused about. Yes, we should not continue on sinning. Yes, we should continue to do our best to follow God's ways and his laws and his rules. Not because we do it under fear of punishment and wrath, but because we walk with a different life in us. We walk as children of God. You, every day, have opportunities to decide to follow that sinful nature which has been killed in you, or to follow God's word which has been opened to you. You get to live each day as God's child, dearly loved. And you follow his rules and his statutes because you love him as he has loved you. Not because of fear, not because of a consequence that might be looming over you. That consequence is gone. You stand with Jesus. God says to you, "You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased." In the name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.